From NPR and WBUR, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Peter O'Dowd. This is Here and Now. And it is Election Day in three states today. Among the races we're watching, Republican primaries for governor in Oklahoma and in Florida. And of course, the Republican primary for an open Senate seat in Arizona being vacated by Trump critic Jeff Flake. The death on Saturday of Arizona Senator John McCain hangs over that primary today, as it does over the White House. Last night, President Trump publicly praised his political rival for the first time since Senator McCain's death. Joining us now, NPR White House correspondent Scott Horsley. Hi, Scott.
Good to be with you, Peter.
Here's what President Trump said about McCain to evangelical leaders at the White House last night.
Our hearts and prayers are going to the family of Senator John McCain. It's going to be a lot of activity over the next number of days, and we very much appreciate everything that Senator McCain has done for our country. So thank you very much.
Scott, a lot of people were waiting for the president to say something like that. He was under a lot of pressure, both from inside his administration, but also from veterans who saw McCain as a war hero. Was that pressure enough to change the president's mind here? Wait, Scott?
As you say, he was under pressure from veterans, from senators, from members of his own team here at the White House. There's no secret that there was a lot of friction between the president and Senator McCain, but this was becoming a distraction for the White House. There were a whole series of photo ops yesterday where Trump had to sit there stone-faced, his arms crossed, as reporters shouted questions about McCain. And those questions were not going away. So ultimately, Trump did what he rarely does. He backtracked. He agreed to lower the flag over the White House again through Sunday. And finally, he spoke those few kind words last night.
Oklahoma Senator James Inhofe told reporters yesterday that McCain who was partially to blame for the White House response, which included, as you referred to there, the lowering of the White House flag on Sunday, then raising it to full staff on Monday, and then lowering it again yesterday afternoon after Trump's order. Let's hear Senator Inhofe.
Frankly, I think that John McCain was partially to blame for that because he was very outspoken that he disagreed with the president in certain areas, and it wasn't too courteous about it.
And yesterday, McCain's former campaign chairman, Rick Davis, read this very stirring letter from McCain, his final public words.
10 years ago, I had the privilege to concede defeat in the election for president. I want to end my farewell to you with heartfelt faith in Americans that I felt so powerfully that evening. I feel it powerfully still. Do not despair of our present difficulties. We believe always in the promise and greatness of America, because nothing is inevitable here. Americans never quit. We never surrender. We never hide from history. We make history.
So some juxtaposition there. What's being said today, Scott, about unity in Washington, party loyalty, especially as these services for McCain get planned later in the week?
Well, look, I was one of many people who thought that Donald Trump's political career was over back in July of 2015 when he said John McCain was not a war hero and that he liked people who didn't get captured. I was wrong about that. Trump is in the White House and his supporters seem to be just fine with this. So the president probably won't pay a political price among Republicans. And those who cross the president often do pay a price. That said, I was in Arizona that night in 2008 when John McCain himself spoke those words that we heard Rick Davis quoting from. And he also spoke very graciously that night about the man who had bested him in the election, Barack Obama. Obama will be speaking at McCain's memorial service here in Washington on Saturday, as will George W. Bush, another political rival, because there are moments in our history when there are things that are bigger than political fights, and this is one of those moments.
Right. One other story I want to ask you about. Canadian officials are in Washington today. They're trying to see if they can get back into the trade talks between the U.S. and Mexico. Yesterday, of course, we saw the president announce this preliminary trade deal with Mexico that he says is going to replace NAFTA. He's not going to call it NAFTA. But what can we expect from Canada here? Because a lot of people are praising the president's negotiating skills here, getting Canada to come to the table.
Well, it is a little bit of a surprise that Canada's foreign minister is cutting short a trip to Europe to join these talks. She had been scheduled to be in Europe for the better part of this week. But with the White House and Mexico gunning for a final trade deal by the end of this week, Canada does want to at least have a seat at the table. It's not clear whether they are going to join in this agreement, at least that quickly. But a lot of the president's Republican allies here in Washington very much want Canada to remain in this deal. NAFTA was a three-nation trade agreement, and they would like to see whatever the successor agreement also include all the countries in North America. Right now they're calling this MUSTA, or Mexico-U.S. trade agreement, but I think there's a lot who feel that they must also get Canada involved.
Not much of a ring to that, I got to say. NPR White House correspondent Scott Horsley, thanks very much.
My pleasure.